This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa al-Aqibatu lil-Muttaqeen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyyihi al-Kareem. Alayhi afdal as-salatu wa atam tasleem. Amma ba'd. My brothers, my sisters, assalamualaikum wa barakatuh. Inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless every single one of us with goodness and khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept your good deeds and efforts throughout this month of Ramadan. The days are slowly passing us by, actually quickly passing us by. And as we near the end of the month of Ramadan, you know, I'm seeing these brothers fall that curtain, and it's making me feel like the day that they're going to fold it up and that's it, right? SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds and efforts. I mean, it feels like your new home, right? The masjid feels like home. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلُّ. 7 categories of people that will be under the shade on the Day of Judgment, when there's no shade, his shade. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, and scholars say will be the strong. And one of the categories is رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلِّ الْمَسَاجِدِ. And his heart is attached to the masjid. And the word مُعَلَّق, as in like it's attached, tight, like interlinked, like a chain, right? A chain is interlinked with another piece of the chain. So linkages tied together and they don't come. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them amongst those who are of the masjid. And this applies both to men as well as to women, right? The categories is not only for the men. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he narrates it, he mentions men. But that shows both men and women as, you know, a society, people whose hearts are connected to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those shade on the day when there is no shade except his shade. Today is the 27th day of Ramadan. Tonight will be the 28th night, inshallah. We're going to be going through the 27th juz today. Tomorrow we'll be going through the 28th and some of the 29th. And then we'll take some of the 29th and some of the 30th so that we can finish up on the 29th, inshallah ta'ala. And I know it's called 30, so we'll still have the 30th, inshallah. It'll be much shorter. But in case the moon is seen on the 29th, after the 29th day, if the moon is seen, then we won't leave without one juz missing, right? So we'll finish on the 29th, and the 30th will just be like a recap, inshallah ta'ala, shorter. I know that we're going to have to plan and prepare to move out from the masjid and also get the masjid ready for the day of Eid, inshallah. So 27th juz, we'll jump into Surah An-Najm, the beginning of Surah An-Najm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والنجم إذا هوى, by the stars when they fade away. So the very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing here is that he's swearing by the stars. Is it permissible for us to swear by the stars? No. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swear by the stars? Yes. Okay. Yes, the Arabs used to look up to the stars. Some of them even worship the stars or look towards the stars for guidance. But why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swear by the stars? To show the importance of the stars. Okay, why else? Okay, good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to the stars, and as the sister was saying, that it's something that is well established. The stars are there. We look, you know, even us, we say, where's the North Star? Where's the Big Dipper? Right? We look at the stars, they're there, they're established. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to draw our attention to something even greater, or what He's about to mention next. Why else? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swear by the stars? I asked you, are we allowed to? And you said no. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing by the stars? Yes. Very good. So you mentioned a few things, but the key point that I was looking for that you mentioned was that He created them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the stars. So He's allowed to swear by the stars. We aren't. Allah created them, created us. And He takes an oath or swears by many of His creation. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by many things in the Quran, multiple different places. Right? He's allowed to because He created. He created all those items. They're all His creation. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to do so, yes. Jazakallahu khair. So yeah, our brother saying, who are we to say that Allah is allowed to or not allowed to do something? But he himself is dictating that He gives the permission to do it. Jazakallahu khair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal najmi idha hawa, by the stars when they fade away. Ma dhalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa, your fellow companion, right? Your fellow companion is neither misguided nor astray. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, nor does he speak of his own whims. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, it is only a revelation sent down to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, and showing the mushrikun, right, of Makkah, drawing their attention into the fact that He sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, from amongst them. He is your companion. What did you used to call him? Sadiq al-Amin. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in so many different ways. Right? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he doesn't speak from his own whims, which means that everything that came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wahi. What does that mean? That means that everything that he did, everything that he said, right, all of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a reason for it, like there's a reason for everything in our lives as well. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything that he said or did was through guidance, divine guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you react when someone says something or does something? He would react the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to. And that's how we learned so much of our sharia, right? So much of our deen was by looking at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms that it is only revelation that is sent down to him. So whatever he said to do, he's teaching us the Qur'an. The Qur'an in itself is revelation. But what came from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of his lifestyle, what he taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to do, how he taught them to do it, right? Sallu, he says, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. In the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't show us how to pray. Allah doesn't say your salah has to pour and a sujood and these are the pillars and you have to say this and you have to end with that and there's this many rak'ah and there's that many rak'ah and this is the time that you pray and that's the time that you finish prayer and you go past this time and you're not allowed, you know, you missed your prayer. And all these things are not mentioned in the Quran, right? Some things briefly are mentioned in terms of timing, but other than that, you look at wudu. Even wudu, the four key principles of wudu are mentioned in the Quran, but then the Prophet ﷺ implemented them in a certain way. And we learn that by looking at the life of the Prophet ﷺ. What comes from the Prophet ﷺ of the Quran is then complemented by his sunnah. And what is complementing the Quran is divine as well, because it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah allowed it. Inspired him to do what he did, inspired him to withhold at times when he withheld, and so on and so forth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. He has been taught by one angel of mighty power. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the description of that, which we took bits and pieces of this, earlier throughout the month of Ramadan. So we'll skip through it, inshallah. He reveals the truth and is explained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to jump to Surah Ar-Rahman. Okay, Surah Ar-Rahman. A surah that when heard, everyone's hearts melt, right? Everyone tends to say that they just love Surah Ar-Rahman. What it is, Allah knows, right? And of course, all of the Quran makes our hearts, come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's something beautiful about this surah. And in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many of the ni'am, many of the blessings of Allah azza wa jal, right, that he's blessed us with. And he begins the surah itself by really giving us that straightforward impact of how everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he begins by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Aman allam al-Qur'an. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Think of this. What was just mentioned? Allah begins by just affirming he's the most compassionate. He doesn't say Rahman, the ana is removed. He says Ar-Rahman. Think of it as the mushrikun hearing this for the very first time. Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites this to them and says, Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an. They're like, really? The most compassionate taught us the Qur'an? Okay. If the most compassionate taught us the Qur'an, what else has he done? Khalaqa al-insan. The most compassionate who taught you the Qur'an, he also created humanity. He created every single one of us. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. And he taught us speech. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shaking up the minds and the hearts of the mushrikun, like Ar-Rahman. It's like, okay, what about Ar-Rahman? عَلَّمَهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Okay, so it came from him. Now we know. So the very first Qur'an to... Allah taught the Quran. You're right. But we're going further. We're going further up. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who taught the Quran. Right? He spoke it to the pen, then gave it to the Prophet, to Angel Jibreel to bring down in stages to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So the first Quran teacher is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, خلق الإنسان. that he created us as human beings. Okay, Allah created us. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. Now Allah taught us speech. So how do you speak? When do you speak? When you do speak, what do you say? Are the words coming out of our mouth nice? Are we speaking the truth? Are we lying? Are we taking advantage of people? Are we, you know, swearing? What comes out of our mouth? Because Allah created us. So Allah is showing you, you are not just a human being. You are a creation of Ar-Rahman, teaching us to honor ourselves. Show yourself. You have some status. You have some status amongst all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gave you the ability to choose, to reason, to think, to reflect. So don't just think, I'm a human being, everyone else is a human being. No, you are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we say, when you look in the mirror, don't just look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and say, Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. To affirm that you, O Allah, you have perfected my outer appearance. Perfect my character, my values. Perfect me, who I really am, deep down inside. Affirming that we are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single time, and I say this to a lot of people, who have especially low self-esteem, sometimes they feel like embarrassed about how they look or, you know, something. People come in with all different things, right? Asking questions like, you know, I have this issue, that issue, you know, a bump on my nose. I remember most recently it was like someone came in and says, I have a bump on my nose. Is it okay for me to have surgery to remove it? I'm like, there's a bump on your nose? Like, yeah, you didn't notice it. Like, no, I didn't notice. Like, until you mentioned there's a bump on your nose, now I'm going to look and see where's the bump on your nose. I'm like, maybe it's in your head that you think you have a bump in your nose. No one else thinks you have a bump on your nose. Be proud of how Allah created you. Be happy. You have a big nose, right? Alhamdulillah. Someone has, you know, big lips or a big smile. Alhamdulillah. Someone has a smaller smile. Alhamdulillah. Right? Someone is tall. Alhamdulillah. Someone is short. Alhamdulillah. Someone's hair starts to turn white when they're younger, alhamdulillah. Someone goes bald before they turn 25, alhamdulillah. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created us, and this is the way He created us. If we say alhamdulillah and we cherish it, we honor that Allah, this is how Allah created me. And we look after ourselves, because we have the responsibility, it's an amana. Our bodies are given to us as an amana, a trust. And this is why after we pass away, the Muslims are carrying on looking after our body, and they continue to conceal our awrah even after we pass away, to honor us as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as creations, as a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, "Allama al-Qur'an," He taught us the Qur'an, and He created humanity. The first Qur'an teacher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, He taught us speech as well. So the speech that comes out of our mouth, is it the speech of the Qur'an? أَنَا خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Aisha radiallahu anha says that the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that of the Qur'an. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would speak, they would speak words that were good and true and solid and sound. Otherwise, they would try to refrain from speaking. I mean, to say that it was the reason, we'll look deeper into it, but yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command to the pen to write before we were here. So the Qur'an was written in Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, on the preserved tablet, before humans were here, right? So that's already been established. But you're right, it's a good observation in the sequence of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He taught us speech, we look at who? Who do we look at as an example of how to speak? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? We just finished taking the ayah. In huwa illa wahyi yuha wa ma yantiqu anil hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't speak just from his own self. Right? And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that He created speech and taught us speech as well. He created us as human beings and taught us speech. And so we need to make sure that how we speak is right. But it also means that those of us who want to learn the Qur'an, who want to dedicate ourselves to learning to recite the Qur'an, that if you trust subhanahu wa ta'ala and have full conviction and trust taqwa and tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the ability to recite the Qur'an as beautifully as you want to recite it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. Right? We were talking about this earlier today, I think, after Dhuhr, right? How can I perfect my recitation of the Qur'an? Hard work. And trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. Some people say, but my tongue doesn't move that way. Allah created you, and He come, and He's in control of your tongue, and He has the ability to give you that speech that you're looking for, that you're hunting for, that you're searching for. Allah has the ability to give it to us. The excuses are not coming from Allah. The excuses are coming from us. We make the excuse. And a lot of the time, it could be because we don't think of it this way, or we don't trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it. So when we think of Allah in the capacity of being do as He wills, when He wills, how He wills, if we work with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless us with it. And if you don't, alhamdulillah, you get double the reward anyways. As in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then if in the surah, if we move on in the surah, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions lots of, you know, His blessings. He mentions about Jannah, certain things, you know, weight of the scales and, you know, measure. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fruit and, you know, palm trees and dates and grain with husks and plants. Subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions plants. Al-habbu dhul asfi wa al-rayhan. And He continues to ask, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Then which of your Lord's favors will you deny? Will both of you deny? Who is both? Jinn and the ints, right? The humans and the jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, humans and the jinn, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we say there are jinn who believe. There are jinn who don't believe, there are jinn who do believe. Not all the jinn are the workers and helpers of shaitan. There are jinn who believe, there are jinn who pray. And there are jinn who pray with us as well. This is why when we're praying from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, if it's time for salah, we call the adhan. What happens when we call the adhan? What does shaitan do? Leaves the house, but what else? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, when you call the adhan, shaitan runs away, and while he's running away, he's farting. Right? He's farting. I use this term because some of the youth, they understand, right? So he's farting. He's passing wind, but really loudly. Really loudly, because he doesn't want to hear the call of the prayer. So the noise that he makes is, you know, that's not the greatest noise, right? When any one of us, you know, bloated, has some gas, you know, you go to the bathroom, you relieve yourself, you move away from people. We know that the sound and the smell is disturbing to everyone, including ourselves, right? We don't like it. And so we move away. Shaitan does that out loud so that he can't hear the adhan. So the shayateen, shaitan is made of what? He's from what creation? What type of creation? Fire, but what?
angels?
No, Shaitan. No, he's the chief of the jinn, uncle. The jinn, he's made of fire. Uncle is so, he's thinking of food. He's confused. He has two plates of bananas in front of him. Right? So, Shaitan is made from fire, and he is from the creation of the jinn. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him as a jinni, and the jinn, we say, don't all run away from us when we call the adhan. Those who disbelieve run. The helpers and workers of Shaitan, because there's Iblis and then he has other workers, they leave. Those that do believe, from the angels, they surround us. From the jinn and the humans, they stand with us and pray. And this is why we call the adhan and the iqamah. So people ask, why do we have to call the iqamah if we're all by ourselves? Because you're not by yourself. You're never by yourself. Angels are with you as well. On the right, on the left, in the front, in the back. Right? So you're never alone. And so when we call the adhan and the iqama, it's important for us to think to ourselves, I'm not alone here. Those that Allah created that believe are with me as well. And this is why we'll see in the 29th juz, Surah Al-Jinn, Allah subhanahu the jinn. So فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of your Lord's favors will both of you, the humans and the jinn, deny? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions so many of the creations. He created the jinn from a subhanAllah, but we just read on the ayah. Verse number, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then verse number 19, مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان. He merges the two bodies of water, fresh water and salt water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merges them, yet between them is a barrier and they never cross. So this means that salt water and fresh water come together, but they never actually mix. Has any of you witnessed it, seen it? Like not in a video, but actually in real life. Yeah? Where?
Two water is coming. One is on the mountain, one is the red color, one is the pure white.
Yeah.
And my son, my eyes, how far is it going off the
intertwining with each other, not dissolving and mixing. You know, it just goes and then comes back. Goes and comes back. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created density. Obviously, we know that scientifically we know how to do it. But isn't it when you think of a glass has two things like mix, but the amount of force and pressure that the water in the sea has is immense. It's immense. It can destroy houses, can destroy like entities. Allah doesn't. The pressure is there. They still repel one another. Who is that? So Allah is saying, he merges the fresh salt water, yet between the barrier they cross. Right? They can't cross. Allah then says, so the out of both come girls and look at from both of them, you know, people cherish it. You look at them and you think to yourself, how many colors are actually in this? Just amazing. And where does it come from? You go online and watch a video how it happens, how it's retrieved. It's just absolutely amazing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala has them sealed, right? And you need to pry it open just to get you in a full bit. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that to us in the bottom of the water. Out of both waters comes these fresh, pearls and coral. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ وَجَارِ الْمُنْشَآتُ فِي الْبَحْرِ كَالْأَعْلَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to him belong the ships with raised sails. So sailboats are passing through with sails, sailing through the seas. Here, these ships are passing through from the salt water to the fresh water, as you know, Brother Wasim was saying. The ship passes through Atlantic, Pacific, going, traveling, right? Different waters, different places, traveling around the world. And what's bringing it? The wind. The wind is blowing, yes. Yeah.
They make us more beautiful and more resilient.
Just like diamonds. Jazakumullahu khairan. I think you all heard that, right? My wife's pretty loud. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something hard, difficult, bad, and turns it into something nice. Just like diamonds, right? What's a diamond? Diamond is carbon. It's carbon. A diamond, when you look at a diamond, right, on the tip of a ring, sometimes you see some sisters with a diamond so big, you wonder how they lift their hand up, right? Big diamond. Hopefully it's real. And the diamond is there. It looks so nice. It's shining. It glitters, right? And the sun, it's just, you see, like, everywhere. Beautiful. But what is it really? It's carbon. A diamond is carbon. What's carbon? It's like the charcoal that you get in your barbecue. But it's under the ground, and it's pressure, so much pressure from the plates and the earth, pounding it together, squeezing it, squeezing it, squeezing it, squeezing it, so much force, right? And that's the example of us as believers as well. That you bear the hardship, and you will shine later on. Bear the pressure, bear the difficulty. It's hard, yes. It's difficult, yes. Is this life meant to be easy? No. This life is temporary. This life is a test. This life is a test. So it's meant to put us through some sort of hardship. And that hardship, that ease, that challenge, the difficulty, the poison, the chemicals, all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing us to filter through it. Our iman allows us to filter through it. And then he says about the sails, the ships that are sailing through, they're like mountains. They're like mountains traveling through the water. How is it that they don't sink? They're heavy, they're big, they're huge. When you look at a ship and the steel is like thick steel. Anyone here was a sailor? No? My dad was a sailor. That's how he left Pakistan, right? The steel is so thick. If you just take like anything, take your phone, throw it in the water, it's going to sink. Now you have this huge thing that weighs like, Allah knows how many hundreds of tons, thousands of tons, right? Maybe even more, and you put it in the water and it doesn't sink. It doesn't sink. Why doesn't it sink? It's the way it was created, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. That he gave certain qualities and properties to the water, that if something that is placed in you and has this, it's going to stay above you. It's not going to go below you. Within it, contained with agency. It's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that created it. And then he says, for that, يَرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَا كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Every being on earth is bound to perish. Gives us another example that we perish. We're all going to die. We're not going to live forever. We will leave eventually. فَبِأَيِّ عَلَىٰ يَرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَا. ourselves are a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. Death is the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. It is the one thing every single one of us has as a guarantee. Are you guaranteed to wake up tomorrow? Are you guaranteed maghrib? Are you guaranteed to see your family? Are you guaranteed to be able to hear what you're about to say in the next sentence? No guarantee in anything. Are you guaranteed to die? Yes. One of us will die. Every single one of us. It's a guarantee. Nothing else is a guarantee. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waking us up, trying to make us think about it. If we skip to verse number 46, whoever is in awe of standing before their Lord, he will have two gardens. Whoever is in awe, worry, but also love, one wonders how it would be like. Both will be with lush, right? Lots of greenery, gardens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, matan, right? فَبَيِّ عَلَىٰ إِرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in each of the gardens will be two flowing springs. فَبِأَيِّ عَلَىٰ إِرَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, what type of house did you want to buy? Single floor, bungalow, two-story, deep, right? Semi-detached, townhouse, single garage, two garage doors. How many cars do you want in front of it? How big do you want your living rooms to be? How many bathrooms? Kitchen counter, granite, marble, laminated, wood? What do you want? What type of countertop do you want? Allah is telling us, you know, when you go to paradise, you're going to have this, and you're going to have that, and you're going to have these gardens, you're going to have rivers that flow through them, and you'll see so much greenery and the lush, you know, fruits that will come from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fruits as well. And then he says, مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَىٰ فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنَ هُدًى Those who believe will recline on furnishings lined with rich brocade. You'll be like the kings. You know, kings of this world, you see them sitting down and they have all this fluffy, soft stuff, gown and everything. It's actually not comfortable. Really think of it, it's not comfortable. It's just a show. It looks good on the outside. I can bring that being nice and comfortable. Like, imagine going to wearing all of that. You need to take this off, untie this. You know, the women you see traditionally, the kings and queens, what's that called? The corset, right? To hold in the waist, and it's someone to tie it. Comfortable. Is that comfortable? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you're going to be reclining. Relax. Just relax. What you're reclining on is comfortable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the fruit of both gardens will hang within reach. You don't even need people. You will have people to serve you, but you don't even need them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the branches come closer to you. Which one do you want today? You feel like, bismillah, you take your pomegranate. The pomegranate of this dunya, we love it, right? How many of you love it? I love pomegranate. Cutting open the pomegranate, taking all of it. It's fun, eh? It takes lots of time, mashallah. Look at the work that goes into it to get the pomegranate seeds out. When the seeds are out, you can use the pomegranate, you can eat it like that. You can put it in food, put it in hummus, put it in salad, even put it in like pudding, banana with like fruits and oranges and grapes and stuff. And you eat it, and you're like, The one thing that hits your palate is the pomegranate. It was hard to get it out. We all love to eat it. We hate to get it. That's why you go to the store. They don't sell you peeled oranges. They don't sell you peeled apples. They don't sell you peeled bananas. But they sell you peeled pomegranate in a cup. And it costs like $5 for this much. Right? Because they know as human beings, we don't want to go through the hardship. Believers, we know the hardship we go through, Allah gives us the things that we want. Imagine how eating pomegranate will be in Jannah. I don't know, but I can't wait. Because it's from the fruits of paradise. And I can't wait to eat that pomegranate because that's going to be next level awesome, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with it. And he says, فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَّانٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in both will be fruit, palm trees, and pomegranates. You'll have of the fruits and the desires that you wanted in this dunya, you'll have over there. And it won't be like what you wanted here. It'll be even better. The things that you wish to have of this dunya, if you want to have, if you even think of having it there, right? You know, people always say, oh, when I get there, you know, I want to have like a super fast car. If you even think of cars, because you can just be like, I want to go there, and you're gone. Yeah. I just want to travel. You travel the span of like 500 years in the blink of an eye. Or on whatever animal you want. You want to ride a donkey? Ride a donkey. You want to ride a horse? Ride a horse. Whatever you want. And there will be nothing that's going to be bad. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah, and the believers will be reclining on green cushions, splendid carpets. Alhamdulillah. We'll be relaxed like somebody. Right? So relaxed, alhamdulillah. Even more relaxed than that. You'll be so relaxed but pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings that you. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Tabarak asma rabbika dhil jalali wal ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, blessed is the name of your Lord, full of majesty and honor. What is the name of the Lord? Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman is most compassionate. You go through this whole surah and you see all the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us and will give to us. And then you sing to us, Ar-Rahman. Like, he is so merciful. Azza wa Jalla. Yes.
Is there a reason why,
I have to look into it. I don't remember. I remember looking into this a few years ago because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two gardens and
one garden is just for living, just like we are living over here.
Mm-hmm.
Other garden just like we go on vacation or something like that.
Inshallah. Allahu a'lam. I don't remember. I remember looking into it because also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a garden of gold and a garden of silver. One garden will be of gold and the other one will be of silver. Right. So we'll look into that, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. That's all the time that we do have for today, inshallah. So we'll end with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy to use it as a guide throughout our lives. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead in full forgiveness and pardoning throughout this month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that enjoy reigning on beautiful blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise. And may Allah make it easy for all of us to sit Jannah and enjoy our time together eating Rumman of Jannah. Ameen. بارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم. عليكم ورحمه الله.